Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Peter, joined this week, as always, by Tom and Donny. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you doing, Donny?
I'm marvellous. Sorry, yeah. Aberdeen fans.
More on that later. There's a question that I seen Melvin put a question so you could kind of have me dig it at the end of the end. Right. First of all, the FFS Royal Rumble, the next kind of stage of that was complete. So if you're still in the cup, you'll see if you've progressed to the next round. Next 3 game weeks again, the 3 more eliminations, and then after that, it's one big mega group, and the scores are reset, and we go again. It's coming to an end. I believe the champion's still in it. Melvino's still in it. Yep, he's still on with his skinny's teeth because he's in the weak group, so he's managed to survive. But we're all still in it, all three, so we're still in the cup, all the info. So we'll go quickly to our own league top three first. I don't think it's much change. Hold up. Right. There is no change. No, there is change. So third, down to third is McColgan, 92, Real Postecoglou with 95 points. Second is the man himself, Melvin Nino, 94 points. And up to number one is E6 Hammers, 1115 points. So that's our group out of the way. So we'll go towards our game week scores and rank for Mega League. And as always, I'll go first because I'm the lowest rank. So this week I had 124 points. But obviously, I took a -4 for 120. Triple act captain was also active, and the team as follows: Clark, 15 points in goals; Tavernier, 1; Cochrane, 12; Kelly, 1; Barastic, 2; Tillman, 1; Jota, 9; Hatate, 7; triple captain Shanklin, 48. So that came off. Vice captain Furashi, 23; Anderson, 5; nothing on the bench, which takes me up into the top 50, rank 49. Quick and expected, so I'm happy with that. Tom, I believe you're now second of you and Donis, you can go next.
Yep, red arrow for me, down to 27th, despite getting 93 points. In goal was Roos for none, Behic for 1, Strain for 2, Tav 1, and Cochrane 12. Midfield was Tillman 1, Ginelli 11, and Jota 9. Up front had Captain Shanklin for 32, Vice Furuhashi for 23, and Duke got me 1.
And you are rank?
27th in the Mega League.
Okay, Don, over to you.
So my week score was 122. I had Roos and Jordan goals for 0, Tav 1, Sean Kelly 1, Cochrane 12, Tillman 1, Snodgrass 7, Jota 9, and then Stephen Kelly 18, Morelos 18, Captain Shanklin 32, and Vice Captain Furuhashi 23. So a lot of big hits there. That's my 1-2-2, takes my global score to 1-4-7-4, which from 22nd, I'm now 13th. So a big jump for me this week.
All good scores all round, all good ranks. So I'll go through the scores. Obviously, it's been over a kind of 2 weeks. This is what we had in the last game week. We had Hearts 1, St Mirren 0, St Johnstone 2, Livingston 4, Motherwell 1, Ross County 1, Hibs 2, Dundee 2, Hearts 5, Aberdeen 0, don't laugh, Donny, Celtic 4, St Mirren 0, and Kilmarnock 2, Rangers 3, and that finished over last Wednesday night, the week before. So, Tom, what have you gleaned from that?
First fixture, we've got Hearts 1, St Mirren 0. It was a goal from Mackay with an assist from Andy Halliday. I was kind of expecting more from Hearts in this fixture, given St Mirren's injuries. Hearts had 68% of the possession, but didn't seem to capitalise. St Mirren had more shots, and more shots on target. Three of those shots on target came from Curtis Main, which was the same as the previous game week, but he's lacking accuracy as he's got goals in neither of those games. I don't think there was any real standouts for Hearts stat-wise. They did keep a clean sheet. Cochrane was off injured at 60 minutes, but the clean sheet was locked in, so that was good. And he was available for the following game against Aberdeen, but we'll come to that. Donny, what's your thoughts on this fixture?
Yeah, so this is the first leg of the Hearts double. We all loaded up quite heavily, and you know, the triple Captain Shankland or the Captain Shankland drew a blank, so it was a bit disappointing. I've got Cochrane as well, so I was happy that he got his clean sheet, but a bit worried that he came off injured, but also came back well. I thought Hearts would do better, but St Mirren are a stubborn team, and whilst they're on a bad run of form, they can push on from this. I think Yunga's coming back from injury. He's starting to get a start, and they just can't find the back of the net. That seems to be their main problem. But Hearts consolidate in third spot, and St Mirren better fixtures to come. I think it's a team that, with the way the fixtures are going to pan out, I will probably look to maybe get Ayunga back in if they can pick up a bit of form. But as the start of the double game week went, it wasn't the best of starts, but I guess it panned out good come the Aberdeen game.
Yep. Peter, anything to add?
Yep, I watched this game in its entirety. This is my Friday night spent at the caravan for my sins, watched the full game. So I had the double Hearts defence, I had the keeper and Cochrane, so pleased with that. Wasn't pleased at the time with the Shankland triple captain was hitting him and on, but echo a lot with Donny said. I thought St Mirren are kind of tough team to break down, and Hearts, I think, did drink the luck a wee bit. I think there was a penalty claim near the end of that game as well. I think it's all missed it so far back now. Maybe it could have been a penalty for St Mirren, but start a double, they win 1-0, they consolidate third position. I think we're all going to agree here that Hearts are going to kind of slowly but surely just run away. MD's kind of been close to them, has kind of fell apart or having their own problems, but not too bad, yep.
Yep, next fixture then, St Johnstone 2, Livingston 4. St Johnstone's goals came from Jamie Murphy and Connor McClellan with an assist from Nicky Clark. For Livingston, Stephen Kelly got a brace with an assist from Bradley and Nicky Devlin. And Penrice also got a brace as well with assists from Anderson and Stephen Kelly. It was a great game for Stephen Kelly owners and also those that punted on Penrice, the 2.5 million defender. For Penrice, these were his first attacking returns of the season, so don't feel too bad about not getting them in. For Stephen Kelly, these were his second and third goal and his third assist. So slightly more form there, but still not that great. Unfortunately, there was no clean sheet for Livingston. St. Johnstone got a couple of goals in the 65th and 67th minute, having blanked the last two games. Jamie Murphy is probably the most in form for St. Johnstone, having scored at home versus Hearts as well. I still don't think I'd be going for any Saints players at the minute, but maybe perhaps something to keep an eye on. Peter, what was your thoughts on this fixture?
Pretty miffed, as I brought in three Livingston players for the double, and the player of the month, or their player of the month of the last month, Montano, he had a knock, can't come years before, didn't make it back, didn't play a minute, so that was a kind of wasted transfer. Even though I'd got points out of him leading up to this, so I couldn't really complain. I think he had a couple of returns. Bruce Allison was the punty striker brought in over Nisbet. In hindsight, Nisbet should have won, I should have went for, because obviously Barisic didn't get the clean sheets either, but I can't complain when we rank overall, but that could have took me maybe higher up. Anderson looked at 5 point return, and also no clean sheets. And the game was, I think only one game, didn't it? The game was cancelled, called off again.
Yeah.
So didn't get a chance to get another game. So I'm sure it'll be down the line at some point, but Donny's on the right Kelly this time, I think. That's what he'll go for. I know just on the penalties, I noticed that there was a conversation about after World Cup there would be not as many penalties. I think the refs kind of sorted it, they think they fixed it. Maybe not after you've seen the Scottish Cup the weekend there, but what I think, and they're going to give less away for less of the penalties. So we had an explosion at the start of that. I think it's starting to kind of come down now. I don't think beyond penalty takers to the team is as important as it was when we were talking about this even 3 months ago. St Johnstone, sorry. their forms fell off a cliff again, so I'm not addressing any of the players at stats.
Yeah. Donnie, anything to add there?
So yeah, this was a good fixture for me. I've got Stephen Kelly. I'm on the Kelly double up, which has often paid dividends in the past. And when it was Sean Kelly, but Stephen Kelly was ticking along okay. He is a player worth having. And for me, every time he scored, it was just checking my rank each time. But unlucky that the second game was cancelled because I was expecting big things again, but I can keep them. They're going to have that double game week further down the line. So I think I'll hold on to those two. St Johnstone, for me, is a hard avoid. I think they've now lost their last five games in the league and also got knocked out of the cup. So they're just a team bang out of form. Livingston, you know, if you did load up on them for that double game week, whilst you probably hold one, maybe two, it's certainly a team that you can come back to and rely on. I think I've got a soft spot for Livingston in terms of fantasy football. So that's the way I see it. But the Kelly double, that's where you want to be.
Yep, just before you go on there, Tom, I think Donny's right. They seem to be the most reliable team during the last couple of seasons. Just have one of them as your fifth or fourth bench trick player, and they all seem to do okay over every weeks. They kind of tick along nicely.
Yeah. Our next fixture then is Motherwell 1, Ross County 1. Motherwell's goal came from McKinstry with an assist from Van Veen, and for Ross County, it was Hiwula with an assist from Jordan White. Probably not a lot to report in this game. McKinstry could have had a brace. He had five shots in total, two on target, and did hit the woodwork. Van Veen with the assist. He still is the fifth highest scoring striker. His points are a bit erratic. The last six games, he's had 1, 13, 1, 10, 2, and in this game, 5. He is kind of hard to fit in, given the form of Shankland, Maeda, Duke, Morelos. These guys, obviously Nisbet as well. So I'm not too sure on Van Veen at the minute, but he does seem to be quite explosive at times. Donny, can I tempt you with Van Veen?
No, this isn't even a fixture that I worry about, you know, versus a goal or anything in that match. I'm pretty certain that from a fantasy football's perspective, it's not going to change the game. Two teams, again, bang out of form. Ross County have only scored 15 goals in 22 games, so they're, you know, very unreliable there. And Motherwell, again, they've not won in the last five. So the fact that they've came together, played out a draw, was probably no real surprise in that respect. I think Motherwell have got a double game week further down the line. I mean, that might tempt me near the time, but certainly in the near future, I'll stay away from those two teams. There's no value at all.
Do you echo that one, Peter?
Yep, I echo the Dolphin that one. Not interested in any of these players. They're two poor teams. I mean, Van Veen, if you had him as your third cheap striker, I suppose he ticks along nicely, but I think he's probably missed out in holes for other players around about the time. He could have had Morelli as a player for Ash, a player you mentioned as you went along. Spittle was a player I had for a while, but I've not had his name mentioned for a long time in this game. So, assuming he's went off the boil. So, he was one of the chances. One of your options for your cheap midfielder holding positions, and he even gone. So unless I turn up in form, which I do not expect to see, St. George, Ross County Motherwell's a hard avoid for me too.
Yeah. Our next fixture then, we've got Hibs 2, Dundee United 2. A brace from Nisbet with assist from Josh Campbell and Newell. For Dundee United, Glenn Middleton and Ian Harkes both scored with assists from Stephen Fletcher and Freeman. Nisbet was the only player to get more than a single shot on target in this game with 4. He has been in very good form recently, though he didn't do too well in the cup against Hearts. Josh Campbell got the first assist, and given his price, he's 3.1 million. He's ticking along not too badly. This fixture, he got 7 points, and the previous, he got 6. But there is a few ones, twos, and threes knocking about in there as well. Levitt was my transfer in this week, unfortunately. He wasn't even in the squad, but I'm not going to be too hard on myself because I think he was in pretty much every expert picks team. So we weren't to know, and we didn't really have much to go on in terms of pressers. So I was a bit unfortunate with that one. I'm a bit undecided whether I still keep a hold of him because his form was pretty good going into this game week. So it's maybe something to consider there. Dundee United do have Celtic next. So both him and Behic in my team will be getting benched. I don't know what your thoughts are on this one, Peter.
Not much. two teams again that I think are very poor for. I think I've seen that every game so far, apart from Livingston. Nisbet is the only player I had any sort of interest in, but now he seems to be getting linked away in this window, so I don't know if it's even worth taking a punt. I heard some daft rumours he's linked to Celtic. I don't see that. I think it's linked out the Championship team. So to me, this is a company his head turned. Hibs are a really poor team. They had like fan protests after the cup game. I don't know. I don't see it. Dundee United do look a more improved team than they were at the start of the season, but again, they're probably more interesting when it comes to the doubles. We'll get to that. But as it stands, I'm not rushing to bring any of these players or any of these teams in, so it's again an avoid right now.
Yep. Donny?
Yeah, so this fixture had me worried because Dundee United were set to play twice and I kind of bet against them. I didn't take any United players in. So I was concerned about the clean sheet, about Levitt getting in amongst the goals. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Obviously, the second game was cancelled. So quite happy from that perspective. Nesbitt, I know, yeah, you probably would look to him as a third striker if you're maybe looking for Duke replacements, something like that. But if he's got transfer hanging over him, then just wait and see. But yeah, Dundee United again, they're a team that can catch fire. I quite like Middleton as a player, but he's quite a minutes risk. I think I saw McGrath was playing as well. Fletcher can do a turn, but they're not wholly reliable for me to back fully yet. I think as we get closer to double game week, it might be something you want to look at. And Hibs, they play Aberdeen this weekend. That's going to be an absolute disaster. I'll stay away from that one as well.
A disaster class.
So Livingston Dundee United was postponed, so we'll be probably mentioning that when we come to questions. The next fixture then, we've got Hearts 5, Aberdeen 0. Roos didn't play this game. He must be the glue holding things together at the back. And Peter did mention in the group chat that he's out for around about 10 weeks. So yeah. That's probably going to be a transfer burn fixing that mess. For Hearts, their five goals. The first one was a Shinny own goal. Michael Smith then scored with an assist from Sibic. Shanklin got the penalty. Ginelli got a goal with an assist from Shanklin. And Devlin also got a goal with an assist from Shanklin. Shanklin's obviously been in fine form. One goal and two assists in this game. He also hit the woodwork, so he could have had even more points for those triple captainers. I don't think you can go without him just now, in my opinion. I was kind of second-guessing myself after the last pod when we were asked to rank our Hearts midfielders, and I went for Ginelli, but I think I'm probably going to stick with him considering he scored in this game, and I think he also scored against Hibs in the Cup as well. Mm-hmm. So I'll keep an eye on that just now, but I think probably you could punt on any of the Hearts midfielders. They kind of come and go in form. Mackay had a lot of form at the start of the season, and Snodgrass does chip in as well. Aberdeen, they're feeling like an avoid for me, particularly after the result last night. I think morale must be low. I do have Duke, and he has been in good form. He's served me well, but I think he's probably going to have to go. But I think the Roos injury is going to have to be dealt with first of all. So I'd be interested to hear what you guys have got to say. Peter, what do you reckon on this one?
I'll let you go to Donny first because he enjoys that.
Donny's champion at the bit. Go on.
Yeah, the second worst defeat for Aberdeen. Yeah, I've got Roos as well. So that's really disappointing. I've just had such bad luck with keepers this season. I think I'm on my fourth change, going into my fifth. So that is a bit annoying. But yeah, Aberdeen, an absolute disaster. He's still in a job, by all accounts. So
I've seen a caveat sure that with Davis podcast. Yeah,
I'm not sure what the plan is going forward because the knives are all out for him and who can blame them. But they just, for the players that they've got, the team that they've got, they're just clueless because they should be challenging for third. They probably should be third the way Hearts started the season. And now they're just in free fall. As I say, morale is rock bottom. I think they peaked when they were 2-1 up against Rangers. And ever since then, they've absolutely capitulated, which for me is great because I can't stand them. So from a game point of view, obviously the Shankland owners came up trumps. I only captained them, so I did lose out on, 16 points, the difference there. But because I had the likes of Kelly and Morelos, I've kind of kept ground, and I've still got my triple captain chip there. Another clean sheet, as I said, Cochrane doubled up there. And yeah, so midfield, I actually got Snodgrass and I kind of championed him. And to be fair, he was probably the worst out of the midfielders at the moment. I think I've maybe just had my luck with him. He's one of the changes I'll look to make ahead of these next couple of game weeks coming up. But yeah, an absolute disaster for Aberdeen. And there was worse to come. So yep, all good. Happy days.
Pierre?
Donnie was talking about the Scottish Cup game. We don't cover that in a podcast, obviously, but this, so, you know, they still have a dabble. They get bombed out of that cup. They're fifth tier team, so that's probably the worst Scottish Cup result.
Sixth tier, is it not?
Sixth tier, I thought.
Yeah, because you've got the Lowland League worse. And then the West of Scotland.
I think it's the worst Scottish Cup. Not worst, good for them, but obviously the biggest shock. I think it's bigger than. We always talk about this game a few years ago. Was it Breakin' Rangers? Is that the game they always bring up?
Berwick Rangers.
Right, for years ago, but they were in the league, so...
They were just a league below.
This is a couple of... So this is... Anyway, back to fantasy-wise, Hearts do look like they've got third nailed, so I think, apart from this double game week coming up, or blank game week coming up, you can rely on three Hearts assets. The midfield, I think both of you mentioned it, it's just sometimes your luck. They're all kind of decent options, as long as they're securing the minutes. You can have one good one week and one good other week, so... Defence is a lot worked this time for me. The defence has got slightly better than it's been. I don't know if I'm feel comfortable on a double up with Hearts keeper and defender, so I'll have to maybe, well, probably have to come off that because of the blank game week anyway. And for Aberdeen, it's going to be a hard avoid now. Obviously, you had Roos, so you had to get rid of him anyway, but I think a lot of many Aberdeen players on my team, unless they change manager, because you might get a manager bounce. But they've got a worse record than they had under Stephen Glass with all these players. I mean, sometimes they have, I've watched them sometimes this year and they look like a half decent set up team, this new we're doing, and then you watch the next game, and I don't know. I mean, at one point, you said that 2-1 game, Donny, against Rangers. They looked like they were going to get that, see that game out, and then they just turned the pot. And then since then, it's just their season has been in total turmoil. So, Hearts, stick with them. We'll talk about the double game week coming up soon. And Aberdeen, I've been everyone, no interest.
No. Next game, then, we've got Celtic 4, St Mirren 0. Goals came from Abada. Kyogo got a brace with assists from Hitati and Yota, and Turnbull got a goal as well with an assist from Mui. Abada opened the scoring. Maeda was getting a rest in this fixture. I had considered replacing Kyogo with Maeda, but this game served as a reminder not to do that, so I won't be doing that going forward. He also did quite well in the Morton game too. Moyes on pens, so that may be something to consider for those looking at their third Celtic slot. He also got an assist in this game too, so he's been in decent form as well. In Celtic's last five games versus top flight opponents, they've managed to get four clean sheets, so they do seem to have sorted things out at the back. Other than Hart, I think Johnston seems to be the most nailed on, given the departure of Juranovic. So he's probably where you should go there. Kobayashi started this game as well. I'm not too sure where he fits in the pecking order. Sounds like Jens could be gone soon. And Carter Vickers didn't play in this game, but I'm sure he's going to be back soon. So I think my money's on Johnston just now. Peter, do you want to field this next one?
Yep, it's probably the best Celtic's played since the break. So if MD's thinking maybe the Jota situation and Kyogo situation, I think you don't worry about that anymore. I think we discussed this last podcast, you don't worry about that. I think they're going to play the strongest team now. Kyogo looks sharp. I was happy he had Kubo vice captain, Jota and Hatate. So I know you mentioned the Aaron Moy situation there, Tom, but I still think there's a minute risk for him. And A, his age, and B, Matt O'Reilly. So if you're punting for him, then fair enough, you might win out of it. But I think you're going to turn up one of these days and they won't be playing. It'll be Riley backing a team. Where I feel myself that Hatate's the safer option and he still has that explosive passing like he got an assist in this game. Again, you mentioned at the back, Johnson was on my kind of thinking, but right now Hatate's ticking over nicely and I think Celtic still have that kind of bomb skin moment at the back in them. Where Hatate's going to get the, they could lose a goal out of nowhere and still think yeah. Hatate's going to get the passing range and the occasional assist. So I'm happy to stay with the double up midfield right now. But if it changes as the game, as the season goes on, and they keep more clean sheets and maybe move to that, but I'm happy with that. So, man, I think we always say don't judge teams when they come to Glasgow and play. So, they kind of get blitzkrieged a wee bit at the start, and then they have no way back. They kept their shape, they tried their best, but I think by that point the game was done and dusted. That I wouldn't be coming off as some other players with double coming up. I still, as we said before, don't judge them when they come to Glasgow for any of the two games against the big teams.
Yeah. Donny?
So a good game fantasy-wise. I think the vice-captain, Furuhashi, is a pretty stick-on affair this season. It's turning up good points. I see no reason to change that. Two goals there. I actually had Jota on the bench. Just I wasn't sure how he was going to rotate between the cup and this fixture. However, the way things panned out, I managed to get him coming off the bench. So I think it was 9 points he got there. So I was happy with that. You mentioned about the clean sheets. That's all very good and well, unless you've got Vickers and you're missing out at the moment. But I believe that he might come back. So fingers crossed I can start getting points there. Third Celtic option, yeah, it's you know, had made a continued as a good run, and there still would have been value there. But I think at the moment, maybe two midfielders might be the option. Again, with the way the fixtures are going to pan out, it's you have to just think that one through. But routine victory, can't really say much other than that. And as I say, for St Mirren, they'll have better fixtures to come. Where you can possibly go back to them for some reliable points. So, yeah, happy days.
Just on Carter Mickerstall, before you go on, me and Donny were talking about off-pod. What I've seen online is he had a niggly knock, I think that's a new word I made up, niggly knock. So rather than risk him, they used the chance to bring in Kobayashi for a couple of games. And the way Andrew's talking at a press yesterday, he's back available. So I'm assuming, they don't quote me, if we're away from home on Sunday, I think he'll come back into that game. So maybe he's thinking about replacing him, I think he went back in. And then he's still got Jens, I would get rid, because I think he's not made the bench the last four games. So
yep,
I think his turkey's took to even get him out.
Sounds like it. Kilmarnock 2 and Rangers 3 then for the last fixture. Kilmarnock's goals came from Chris Stokes and Joe Wright, with an assist from Danny Armstrong and Ash Taylor, favourites of the pod there. For Rangers, 3 goals. Morelos, Kent, and Morelos got the brace as well. Assist came from Sakala, and Morelos bagged an assist. So 2 goals and assist from Morelos, who seems to be the first choice striker under Beal. Cholak seems to be coming back from injury, but he was only subbed on in the 93rd minute versus St Johnstone in the cup. So I thought maybe he would get more game time to try and ease him back in a bit more, but it seems all the confidence is maybe getting put onto Morelos just now. Points, he's a bit like a Van Veen, he's a bit all or nothing. The last 6 games he's had 1, 1, 12, 2, 1 and 18, but there is an explosiveness there that does make him a good option, and he might even perhaps be a captain option as well, given the lack of clean sheets at Rangers. Obviously Captain Tav has been a stalwart for quite some time, but I don't know, I think people are starting to kind of get a bit twitchy with that one now. Given Rangers' form at the back. So, what do you think about that one, Donny?
Yes, so I actually watched the majority of this game. Classic Beal ball, going 1-0 down. This is his...
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Third 3-2 win since coming back to the club. So you certainly get goals, if nothing else. But Morelos is the other player that I had on the bench. And that's just from a trust point of view. I was basically looking at him and Jota head-to-head to see who would come off the best. And as I say, the way the fixtures worked out, they both managed to come on. So he did have a good game. There was some signs there of the old Morelos, you know, hassling defenders, turning, making space, and the two goals that he took. I thought he put them away well. So Sakala's still showing some good form, although I think recent signings could see him drop out of the team this weekend. Kent continues to play well under Beal, but still shaky at the back. And even at 3-1, when Kilmarnock scored, the last few minutes were a bit edgy, should I say. But no, a good win. The momentum continues. As you say, Tav is a kind of player that come the weekend, he could score clean sheet and you know, get the big points. But we've just been unlucky. I mean, we played the cup game against Aberdeen on a terrible pitch. This is a terrible pitch. And then we had St Johnstone on a terrible pitch. Čolak, I think, will feature more heavily. I just think fixture-wise and pitch-wise, he was just kept away. I think you might see him this weekend, which for me could be a problem because I'll obviously still have Morelos. Good win. Happy to take it after, well, the cup was a struggle and this was a struggle as well. But we got there in the end. So Beal Ball remains undefeated.
Yep. Peter?
I just laugh. He's going to sit there eating until he gets defeated and we'll pounce on him, but I just have to wait. Cantwell signing. I've not watched you see the game. I didn't watch. I'll take you if it's given. This, it was all the usual names pop up. Is Cantwell going to replace Sakala?
I think that's where he slots in. I think he will start at the weekend. We're home to St Johnstone, so it's an ideal fixture. So I don't think he's in the game yet. I've certainly not seen him priced up in the game. I'll have a look because we're carrying on talking, but I'll maybe get on that as a Rangers fan. The hype might get to me and I'll go straight to him, but I'd probably have to take a minus for that with the goalkeeping situation. But Beale's done well to get a tune out of that team since he took over, being undefeated, and obviously the only draw was against Celtic, which, let's be honest, we were winning. He's done well. So we need to strengthen in midfield. We've got one in, hopefully a couple more before the window closes, and then we can maybe just see out the rest of the season and win both cups and maybe win a couple of the old firms. We'll have to wait and see. But the performances are better, certainly better watching than the old horseshoe stuff that we had to put up with. But there's just certain positions where we're struggling at the moment. Like Barisic, he looks dead in his feet at the moment, but he's uncontested in that position. So, you know, you're just going to have to stick with him. But it's good that we're getting the results, albeit we seem to lose a lot of goals at the same time.
5.5 for Cantwell. So.
Oh, he's in the game, is he?
He's 0.1 cheaper than Tillman.
Yeah, that would be, I'd say that's the swap I would make.
One cheaper than Tillman. Tillman was cheap at the start. Is that Tillman we're up to that price, I think, over time?
Tillman's 5.6 and Cantwell's been introduced to the game at 5.5. So
interesting.
Not too bad. One for the Wildcarders, Tom. Eh? Is that our last game?
That's the last game, yep. Moving on to the top 10 then, it's I don't know if it's worth discussing too much considering that it's quite skewed in terms of favours the double game week players quite a lot, particularly Hearts. Number one is Smith, the Hearts defender, with 21 points. Stephen Kelly, who obviously got his haul despite not getting the second game, with 18 points. Morelos with 18, Shankland with 16, Nisbet with 16, Sibic, 15 points, Xander Clark, goalkeeper, 15 points. We've not had a goalkeeper for quite some time. Penn Rice, the Livingston defender, 15. Barry Mackay at Hearts, midfielder, and James Hill, 13 points. So that's one goalkeeper, four defenders, two mids, and three forwards. Obviously, six Hearts players there, so it is quite skewed. So we worry about that one too much.
Yeah, the two wins 10-0, so expect to be high up there. Right, okay, over to Donnie for the dive. It's got time of the season now where you actually talk about players, so I don't know what you talk about, so I'll take it away, Donnie.
A bit worried because you kind of banned this guy, so we'll see how we get on. So yeah, we're going back to the differential, identifying a player that is low in ownership, but possibly in form and being overlooked. So it is a recommendation only. But this week's player is only 0.8% owned. That makes him the 216th top-owned player alongside illustrious names of Peter Pollitt, Ben Purrington and Alex Mitchell. The last two I've never heard of, so gives you an idea of what's going on. So all players currently being ignored in the game. We've got this sleeper agent just sitting there, ready to be pounced upon. He has played 20 games this season, but it's the average minutes of 45.3, which might be the concern. But given his recent form, I think there's value there. He has got 75 points, an average of 3.8 points per game, 2 goals, 7 assists, and 6 bonus points. Any guesses yet? No? This might give it away. He's priced at 5.2 million, and he's already played against Messi and Mbappe in the World Cup. That give you any more of a clue, Peter?
Aaron Moy.
Moy, yep. Tom, you agree with that?
Yep.
Yep. So, despite Peter not fancying him from a minutes point of view, which I do get, the differential this week is Moy in the Celtic midfield. Now, it just shows you that must be in a good mood, picking a Celtic player as a differential. But I think he is underrated in that Celtic midfield at the moment, and he is on a good run, and sometimes you just have to jump on these things because, as you say, you could quite quickly get rotated out. So, as I say, he is a minutes risk, but even when he came on as a sub, he was still getting in amongst the points, and you see that with likes of Turnbull, Abada, you know, getting game time. They can still return as far as that's concerned. But the main reason for the pick is that it would seem that he is the designated penalty taker for Celtic. And now that they've complained about not getting penalties, bang, the next game they get one, it could be a good differential to have. He's currently the 15th top scoring midfielder, ahead of Montano, Snodgrass and Ginelli, all players that we've championed in the past. So, you know, game time is one thing, but he's outscoring these guys who we've championed before. For me, it's personal choice because you've probably already got Jota and Kyogo. So it's whether you want to add him in as your second Celtic midfielder. So just to recap, Aaron Moy, 5.2 million is my differential for this week. We'll go back to the Celtic experts for their views on this. Peter?
Where are they? I like him as a player. As I said before, it's a minute risk. I would buy him in, and before I know it, the next time you look at the team sheet, and it'd be a Riley in ahead of him, I'd be really annoyed myself losing a Celtic asset. They bring him on the last 30 minutes. I would need to break down to see what he's returned when he's come off the bench to what he does when he starts. Do you know what I mean? But I go for it. You get a Celtic player today. I'm happy with him at 30, so to me, I wouldn't move into him. There's too many midfielders. I've seen another one, Hawate, in as well. So there's probably six players flying for free. And his age, is he playing two games a week? I don't see him playing week in, week out. Plus, he's meant to be a smoker. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what he's
about. It looks like one, so, I suppose.
I don't know. Not for me. I think there's more better options, even in defence. But I still think if you go for it, well done. If you go for it and it pays off, then fair play.
Yeah. It was the penalties that caught the eye. I mean, that's obviously where you look for in most teams, see who takes the penalties. And for Celtic, whilst a few folk have had chances, they missed a lot at the start of the season. And he's taken the last few. So if he's on the pitch, Celtic get a penalty, then boom, you could clutch. Tom, anything to add to that?
Well, I've seen Giakoumakis with a vape, so I don't think it'll hold them back too much. I think he could be a decent option, especially if he is getting subbed on. He's coming on against tired legs, and if there's a lot of people vying for position, then the substitutes that come on with them, the likes of Turnbull, Forrest, they're going for it. They're still going for it. They're not kind of shutting up shop. They're still looking to get goals, and you can sometimes capitalise on that.
Tend to see that, you know, the 4-0 game is an example. You've got Turnbull coming on scoring, you know, that whoever scores last is usually somebody from the bench and just chipping in. So as I say, with a cup game at the weekend, it just caught my eye, and that, you know, he is on a bit of form. Whether that form lasts or not, we don't know. I think looking at the fixture tracker, you don't get Celtic team news for a while. And that's always difficult.
Ever you say other again?
Well, according to the latest version, there's nothing showing, but from game week 27 onwards, there's no reds in there, so it's maybe just TV schedules not being sorted out yet. But until this blank and double game week, Celtic don't have any early fixtures, which again was a problem before Christmas, and we'll just have to suck it up. So yeah, it could pay off. Just as I say, he's on form, and sometimes that makes a big difference. If you've got a space, it might be worth a punt. Certainly got good fixtures in the next couple of games.
Okay, nice, well done.
That's
right, good. Right, we'll go to our Twitter questions. So as you probably can guess, the big question mark this week is not big question mark, the big most question is, what dropped yesterday? Double game week, blank game week you're in. So now Celtic, Rangers, Hearts and Hibs, the four teams, isn't it? They'll miss out on that game.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to navigate with eight teams, and I'm assuming most engaged managers will probably have at least two of each of Celtic, Rangers, Hearts in their team. Probably ourselves get potentially three of each in their team.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of players to navigate around. So I'm going to go to the questions first. We'll take it one at a time, and then we'll kind of do an all-compassing kind of thing about it and how we would all deal with it. Because I've done a poll earlier on, and I asked the people how many wildcards they'd left. So 2, 1, or 0. It came back. I'll just quickly check. 65% is on one wildcard. 20% is on two wildcards. So that leaves 15% on no wildcards. And as it stands, I'm quite fortunate on this podcast, we're all in one of these boats each. Donnie's got 0, Peter's got 1, Tom's got 2. So once you answer the question, we'll answer it with their kind of point of view as well. So you can get different views of how you would work it, and different views of working what you've got, whether you use a wildcard or not. So questions. First question isn't even a question about it. It's from Blaze Attack, Brian. Not a question, just for clarification. When will Shanklin serve a suspension? Is it next round in the cup? Do any of you have any light on this? Donnie, yes?
I think it's cups, yeah. I think you're just suspended for the cup, so
different
he'll be
okay.
He's certainly not marked in the game as being out, so yeah, I think he's...
I think we have a different setup for the English football goes, so we're fine, right, so it's in the cup. Right, next question is from Melvino at Melvino68. Would you say that Darvel's World of Aberdeen is the biggest shock in Scottish, maybe even British football history? And should we therefore shy away from the Aberdeen assets, including Duke? I'll come with you, Donny.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely the biggest upset in terms of golf. But as a Rangers fan, over the last 10 years, I've had some embarrassing performances that I've had to watch. So I think for Aberdeen, the hurt is worse. It was on TV, so everyone's managed to see it. The surprising thing is that I don't think it was a surprise. Aberdeen
coming
off the back of that 5-0, they almost went expecting to lose, and they did. So kind of victims of their own downfall there. But I guess what you've got to put into consideration is if there is a management change, then it can quite easily be turned around. You know, they play Hibs, who are probably the other team that need a management change at the weekend, that could either be 2-2, 3-3 or 0-0. So you want to ease off from Tish now. It could bite you, but until the form change kicks in, then you will want to stay away. I've got, as I say, Roos. I'll have to change that. I've got Stewart, who just seems hopeless. That's quite an easy change. Duke probably has been their best player, but you've got like San Nisbet playing well, Sakala playing well, Cholak ready to come back. There's probably easy alternatives that you can go to. So as with any team that's out of form, then yeah, just ease off them until you see anything to change your mind.
So we may have a leave or lose town match next game week, Aberdeen versus Hibs.
Could be.
I would agree. I think I mean, there's been some cup shocks that I remember being ourselves involved, Rangers involved, but it's always been teams within the league, a league down, potentially two tops. I'll go back to Inverness, Kelly Thistle, but they were in the Championship at the time, were they not? Or the League One? Or
Yeah.
It's only a league within it. So it's probably the biggest shock I can remember. And the second part of this question, I think I mentioned earlier on, I'd be coming off all Aberdeen assets unless there's a manager change. Tom?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, Duke's the only Aberdeen player I'd even consider at this point. That's only because I own him, but I'm considering getting rid. So that kind of answers the question there as well. I do have Roos, mainly because, you know, there's not too much variation amongst goalkeepers. So it's kind of just, I was just going to stick with him until my next wild card. Then I was going to suss it out. But obviously he's injured, so he'll have to go anyway. But yeah, it's an avoid for me. The only one that's informs Duke and, you know, their heads will be down after that result, and I think might take some time to shake it off.
And what about shock? Is it the biggest shock you can remember?
In terms of golf, it will be, wasn't it?
Right. Next question. How many players should be looking to have for game week 26? So I'm going to kind of run this into, as for Kevin Wood, Kevin Fish 89. Because it's just all part of parcel. Right then, Sutty's put a picture up. People can find on Sutty show, and we'll show you the kind of game week before, game week during, game week after. There's doubles before and after it. So just to kind of quickly take you through it all, so if you're listening, Aberdeen play through it all, but they've got Celtic away, Livingston during the blank, Dundee away. Celtic play Aberdeen at home, then they blank, then they come back to St Mirren away, Hearts at home on a double. Dundee have St Johnson at home, then they have Ross County in the blank, and then they have Aberdeen at home, Livingston away in a double. Hearts and Motherwell away, then they blank, but then they have St Johnson and Celtic at home. Hibs have Kilmarnock at home, then they blank, then they're away to Livingston and Hope Rangers a double. Kilmarnock have Hibs away, Motherwell at home in the blank, Rangers away, a double. No, Rangers away, no double. Livingston have Rangers at home, Aberdeen away in a double, then they have two home games, Hibs and Dundee United. Motherwell have two home games before the blanks, Mirren and Hearts. Then they play Kilmarnock, and then it's away to Ross County. Rangers play Livingston away, then they blank, but they come back to Kilmarnock and Hibs a double, which is pretty good looking. Ross County have St Mirren, Dundee United, Motherwell, they don't blank. St John's have Dundee United, St Mirren, Hearts, they don't blank. And the last but not least, St Mirren have Motherwell away, Ross County at home, and then St Johnson in the blank and Celtic away, so they don't blank either. So again, quality sort of show, you'll see that. Thinking player-wise, I think it comes about what you've got. Well, card. I'll continue finishing last year's question, we'll go through it all again, right? So the big question started with Yala Leopard. For those with us with a well card, when is the place taking the plate and when does it expire? And then he's wrote underneath, actually, I see in game week 26, that's in brackets, for February, no fixtures for Old Firm, Hearts and Hibs, presumably League Cup final, so dead ending in 26, well card 27 be my answer. And people, that's when the replies to that. So, let's cover it all together. Donny, you've got the wild card, so we'll start with you first. How are you going to manage it? What is the plans got up to?
Yep, so we've got, was that 1, 2, 3, 4? There's 5 game weeks till you get to the first one, the blank week. And now I need to use a keeper already, so that kind of screws up one transfer week, and then I'll give a few more weeks to there. I look at the fixtures in isolation. So I look at the blank game week, you've got St Mirren and St Johnston. That's a fixture I would typically stay away from. St Johnston, St Mirren and St Johnston, I would probably stay away of, but I'd maybe try to get Iwengan. They've got value there. You've got, what are we looking at? Ross County, Dundee United. Again, I'm not going to take in any Ross County players, Dundee United. depending on their form, you might want to pick a defender or Levitt. The fixture, Motherwell, Kilmarnock, don't really see any great value in that fixture. The only really fixture that I've got players in is Aberdeen and Livingston, and I'll probably have risen Aberdeen players by then. But the thing with Livingston is they play Rangers, they play Hearts, Celtic and Rangers before that blank game week, so you're going to have to chop and change them off their bench. There's no way I could have a full team for game week 26 and then roll into game week 27 because I'm still going to have three Rangers, I'm still going to have three Celtic. It's probably my Hearts players that I'll have to come off of in advance because, let's be honest, their double game week has got Celtic in there, so you might just say that's a single game week. So I've got the worst of the situation. I will probably just have to take the hit on game week 26 and hope that the fixtures fall kindly and then focus on 27 where I've still got a triple captain that I could use and maybe get some points back that way. But the fixtures, as I say, I don't think the fixtures are that great in isolation. So just because they're the only fixtures there, for me, doesn't really mean to say that I have to target them when, as I say, I need my team set up for game week 27. So I've got the worst of the situation. I'll do the best I can, but at the moment I've got three. If I can get to six, I'll be struggling to get past that, I think. But we've got a double game week before. Hopefully make up points there. I could do a couple of transfers and get that back. But game week 27 is where I'll have to put all my focus.
Okay, mate, Donny. So I'll go next. I've got the one wild card. So the way I'm thinking, look at this, I've got five transfers up to this, as you said. Now, there's a double game week for Motherwell and St Mirren, week before the blank, but they both play the week of the blank, so I don't want to take out, obviously Rangers Celtic still play that game week, so I'm going to try to get the usual transfer to have players in as get to play that game week without ripping apart the players that I want in my team. I'm probably going to game week 26, hopefully rolling, so I've got two, so I can see more information for that last game week, and maybe try to get eight or nine out, see how it looks. But because I've got the wild card, I'll be definitely wild carding into game week 27. That's when I'm going to use it. As Donny said before, we've only got 10 games left after that point, so there's no much scope. The transfer window's shut. All these new players will be bedded in, so I think that's when I'll be using that game week 27, and that should set up my team for the rest of the season. Well, the dilemma is there's good injuries and fires along the way. I don't want to have a team for Motherwell players. I don't have a team for St Mirren players, so it could be a case of this. St Mirren, I trust slightly more Motherwell, so maybe one of the defenders in, just bench them, ready one of the Aberdeen players, and then kind of just go along, use the transfers, and hopefully, as I said, nine players in, nine players out. I think I'll probably more than most looking at the things anyway. So we'll see how that turns out. So we'll go to Tom next. Tom, you're in the perfect situation. You've got two wild cards. Sutty or Kebble Fish, I think it was Kebble Fish said. Ideally, it may be Sutty actually, I forgot who it is now that I said that. Ideally, what you do is you would use one of your wild cards like a free hit. You don't affect the team up to it. Use your free hit in game week 26. Wild card, sorry, as a free hit. Get what you can. You should have 11 players, no problem. Your budget should be able to pick any 11 players you want, so it should be any players you fancy for any of the teams. And use a wild card the next week. Again, fix your team. And that's your end of the season. Is that your plan, Tom, or is it something different?
No, that's my plans.
So this is where Tom takes a lead, or potentially take a lead.
That's it. That's where you're going to make ground. If you've got two wild cards, and you're laughing.
Sorry, plus you ain't going to be rating your team. You leave it as is, transfer week to week.
Exactly, yeah. You don't have to dead end or anything like that. You can just play the next four game weeks. As normal, you don't even have to think about game week 26. Wildcard comes in. You can even legislate for, some unknown players getting hauls by using your bench trick. So you can get in all the obvious picks. You could even look at sort of putting your eggs in one basket if you're trying to gain ground. For example, Dundee United play Ross County. You could go with three Dundee United defenders. And if they get the clean sheet, then obviously you're making some big gains there, stuff like that. So obviously we've got another four fixtures, four game weeks, to see who's in form, who's out of form, who's injury ravaged, who isn't, and then we can take it from there.
Tom says sitting there quite smugly. That's good. That's good. He's sitting in the best, he's sitting in the best position. So that's what he watched. Obviously, we'll keep you updated. As Tom mentioned, there's 4 weeks to go. A lot can happen and stuff like that. So inform managerial changes potentially to the team we're talking about. So a lot of things could happen in the Alliance. The window isn't shut yet either, so a couple of those could be in the door. But we'll put it in the week, we'll let you know what's going on and we'll see how we're planning. And again, all three's got different situations, so we can always keep you abreast of how we're thinking as we're going on. Right, fixtures then before we get to our captains and head out. So game week is this Saturday, so I believe there is actually 4 games you'll see other team news in, so let's go through them. St Mirren, Motherwell, Ross County, Kilmarnock, Rangers, St Johnson, Hibs and Aberdeen. And then on Sunday, we've got Livingston, Hearts and Dungeness, Celtic. So, Donny, upon hearing that, what is your captain, vice-captain and transfer plans?
So, I've got written down Captain Tav, vice-captain Kyogo. I think that probably just be based on team news. And then Shankland would be the other option there. But they don't play till the Sunday. So I'll just probably stick with that. In terms of transfers, I'll say I need a keeper, so I'm probably going to have to make a change there. I'll keep an eye on the Morelos situation. Obviously, I will get team news for that fixture. If he's starting, I'll keep him. If not, I'll maybe look to move. And as I touched on, I'm 100% on the Todd Cantwell train, and I might look to change that as well. So standard captain choices, although I wouldn't be against not captain and Tav. I think the fixture is quite kind. And a keeper is my first port of call. So anything else I'm going to have to take a hit for, so I'll have to be wary.
Tom, same question yourself?
Yep. Well, I'll have to, transfer-wise, I'll have to deal with the Roos situation. I'm probably not going to go Celtic or Rangers. I've got triple hearts, so I can't go for Xander Clark. So it only really leaves Carson at St Mirren. He's the second highest scoring goalkeeper in the game. They do have a double in game week 25. And the fixtures running up to that aren't too bad. Motherwell, Aberdeen and Hibs. So he's probably the obvious choice there. In terms of vice-captain, probably going to stick with Kyogo. In terms of captain, I'm not too sure. I suppose by default, Rangers are at home to St Johnston, so we could just go captain Tav and play it safe. But that could change.
Okay. Myself, it's right now it's captain Tav, but defensive situation, I'd like to see more from St Johnston. Do look poor. They still seem to go on them, but I'm still captain Tav, vice-captain Kyogo, and I think I'll be taking out one of my Aberdeen players this week, Stuart, because he is absolutely useless, and probably replace him with a St Mirren defender, just for the first player in place for the upcoming double. I think that's quite an easy move to make. If I hear Mentano news, he's still injured, I'll just play Mentano as a second playing a bench trick player and hopefully get a decent score off the bench. That's us. So, hope I helped everybody with your double game week, blank game week plans. We'll try to keep it updated week to week, so hope I helps you going forward. And get your plugs in, guys, before we go. Donny?
So I am at FFS underscore Donny.
Tom?
And I'm at FFS underscore Scout.
Yep, I'm at Fantasy Half, so thanks for listening. We'll see you later. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.